So welcome to the audiobook. This is, in fact, the welcome I get every morning from, yes, from Olive and Mabel when I come downstairs, or rather when I'm summoned downstairs, after they've decided that they like some breakfast. What's that? Yes, your breakfast is how all of this began. Anyway, I hope you enjoy the audiobook. Now, if I give you some breakfast, can I please go back to bed? Hmm? Thank you. Olive, Mabel and Me, published by Black and White Publishing, written by Andrew Cotter, narrated by me, Andrew Cotter. Foreword. Olive. I should be honest here and say that I initially wanted nothing to do with this book, as I couldn't see how it would in any way benefit me, something which I feel is quite important. But then it was explained that, firstly, I would get top billing, and secondly, the food we eat, and if you have any spare, that would be great, doesn't grow on trees. I countered by pointing out that I eat most parts of trees on a regular basis. Eventually, though, I was sold on the idea that people might read it and subsequently tell me that I was a very good dog, because that pleases me. So here is our story, in words that we would choose if we knew a few more of them. But since my vocabulary stretches at most to walk, biscuit, and other assorted treats, we agreed to let Andrew write it on our behalf. I did make him promise to describe us only in glowing terms, and he said he would, although at the time he was crossing his fingers in a way that I could only envy. I have no idea why we've seen far more of him recently, which also pleases me, or why so many people are stopping us on our walks to say hello, or why he seems to be filming us more often than usual. I just know that whatever success we might have had or fame we might have achieved is entirely down to me. But in the end, I'm sure that we'll come out of the book well, because I know he loves me a lot, and, please don't tell him, I really am quite fond of him too. Mabel. Which one is Andrew again? Prologue. 31st of December 2019. Torridon, in the northwest of Scotland, provides a landscape like no other. Rolling miles of peat and heather, studded by a thousand lochs and pools, out of which rise giant and solitary mountains. Anchialach is perhaps the finest of them all, a sharp and imposing wedge of sandstone which can appear a fiery red in a low sun, hence the name, which in English means the forge or hearth. For the past 3 hours it had been rather more feebly illuminated by a head torch as we made our way up the northern slopes from the edge of Little Loch Broom. But then the winter night, so long at this time of year, finally began to loosen its grip. We could see the sky in the east lighten, and silhouettes of other peaks started to form as we climbed the final slopes to the summit. And by the time we'd reached the ridge, the faintest glow had become the most glorious sunrise, lifting above the horizon. It was a beautiful place to see dawn on the final day of the year, from the top of one of Scotland's most dramatic mountains. I was utterly captivated by the sight. The remaining members of the expedition were facing the other way and sniffing at something small and recently deceased. So that's us, Olive, Mabel and me, companions on many walks and in life in general. Eventually, they gathered round, tempted in by bits of cheese and mini sausages, and as we sat together, I thought about how much they meant to me and that I was glad I had them here. Climbing mountains has always been an escape. It is for most people who head for the hills, and certainly is for me, getting away from the occasional madness of the world below, more often than not accompanied by my dogs. Up on the ridge of Anchialach, the three of us were offered the most incredible panorama. Behind us, to the west, the sky above the sea was still dark, but we were looking forward as the sun continued its own reluctant climb, and New Year was nearly with us, and I wondered what it might bring. I wanted to stay far longer, but it was bitterly cold, and in any case the views were once again not being fully appreciated by either of my assistants, who continued to forage in the never-ending Labrador quest for food, Olive now pawing optimistically at a bit of moss in the frozen ground, Mabel striking a rather richer vein within my rucksack. So we turned and headed back down to the other world and all the life and chaos and noise that it brings, with my two dogs trotting behind. None of us with any idea quite how chaotic and strange this particular New Year would be.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?